Welcome, everyone. I'm joined here today with Stuart Sladden, our director of music, and Dorcas Windsor, our organist. And my name is James Lone, and we're here today to discuss the Organ Fund here at Westworth United Church. I'm not entirely sure, but I think this is a little bit historic. I believe this is the first ever podcast at Westworth United. I don't know. So thank you, Dorcas, and thank you, Stuart, for taking time this morning. And I just want to say, before we get going, I will gush just on behalf of the entire congregation. We are so blessed that you are in charge of our music and make it so beautiful and so meaningful every Sunday morning. Just so thank you. We're here today to discuss the organ. And the organ fund and our need for an organ. And, you know, we have these little one-minute things from the pulpit some Sunday mornings, and this is just a chance for to get a little more information, a little more detail on it. So maybe we'll start with you, Dorcas. Can you give us a little overview of the history of the organ here at Westworth?
We've always had an electronic organ. We had three Baldwin organs. And the last one, the one that was purchased when I was here, was purchased in 1986, I believe, and that lasted until the early 2000s, so it was about, you know, over 20 years old, and it just, the Baldwin Company went out of business making organs, and so when that organ ceased to exist, people like Tim Stevenson got on the internet and looked for parts and everything, but we couldn't find anything. So we were kind of without for a short period of time. And then Deer Lodge United Church closed in the early part of 2000, in the 2000s. Not exactly sure when it closed. And they were going to just get rid of their organ. And it was ours for the taking if we could pay for the shipping. So somebody on our property committee, the property committee arranged for that organ to be delivered here. So it came here quite a few years ago. We've had it. I'm not going to get the dates exactly right, but
that's right.
You know,
that's okay.
8 or 9 years or so. So we've had that organ, which, and it had been installed at Deer Lodge in 1980. So it was over 20 years old. And then in the summer of 2013, some of the, well, Stuart could tell you the exact things that went wrong, but it ceased to function, and it was going to cost more to repair it than the organ was actually worth. We were told it was worth about $500, and it was going to be quite a bit more to repair it, even though the Allen Organ Company maintains that they will look after any organs the best they can, but some things are beyond repair, and so that's where we are now.
And Stuart, maybe if you could just clarify, I think some people in the congregation know, but just talk a little bit about how this is a rental. Someone is actually, the organ that we hear Sunday morning, someone has actually purchased and is waiting to acquire once we're done with it, right? Could you sort of explain that situation?
Sure. When the organ died in July, Ken Dirksen is the Allen dealer in Winnipeg and surrounding area, and he came in to take a look at it, and pretty much what Dorcas said that to repair the organ would be far more expensive than the organ is actually worth. And so over the course of the fall, in discussions with Ken, he said he had a similar instrument. This is the instrument we're using now, is actually a generation newer, so a couple of years newer than the one we had here before. But he actually has a buyer for it. I think it's actually bought, so it is on borrowed time. And so he has generously lent us this instrument in the interim while we go through the process of finding funds, deciding if we want an organ, and all that stuff. And he's the deal that he's struck with us to be able to use the instrument is we would pay him per month to use it, but 100% of the proceeds that we're paying for the rental of the organ would go to the purchase of the new Allen organ that Dorcas and I and Ken and the committees that have been in the past have decided on. So it's a very, very, very generous gift that he's given Westworth, because this organ's already bought and paid for by somebody else.
Yeah. So. Well, and let's talk a little bit about that search committee, because I know you guys have done a lot of research in terms of new, used, and you've landed on a particular model. And maybe you don't need to get into specifics, but I think in terms of general purposes for the congregation, it's fair to say that is it fair to say that from the work and research that you've done and the expertise that you have in this area, that it's not a $750,000 pipe organ that we're looking at, it's not a $600 Roland keyboard that you plug in, that it's something suitable and appropriate for this congregation, if you guys want to talk about that?
Well, even as far back as 2011, we were thinking that we should start looking at the possibilities of a new organ, because we knew that the one that we had could go at any time, because every so often there were little glitches. And so so we started sort of being on the lookout for that, partly because there had been an assessment that the sort of a poll taken of congregation members about the state of music and what people valued at Westworth, and the general consensus, this isn't accurate data, but the general consensus was that people valued having the organ and the piano in worship. They valued traditional music, and so we started being on the lookout for something. And so some of us started actually back in May of 2011. Ken Dirksen. I've been in touch with him because the Allen Organ Company has a bit of a hold on, maybe you'd call it a monopoly. I don't know if that's that. I don't like to be negative with that, but they have a lot of organs, church organs in Manitoba and in this area. And so because Ken has been such a faithful helper to us in terms of servicing the organ, he even used to help service the Baldwin. So he's quite an expert in that. And so I had been talking with him casually. I would meet him at different events that the Royal Canadian College of Organists would have, and so he would often tell me which organs were out there that he had installed in various churches, and he said there's one in Kenora that's probably one that you might be interested in. And so when the annual meeting of conference was held in Kenora in May of 2011, Clark and Mona and Kirk and I, and actually I think Ruth Denton was there too, we were all delegates to the conference, and one afternoon we just snuck away from the conference and went over to the Anglican Cathedral to hear this Allen that had been installed there, and it was really quite beautiful, and it had a lot of the capabilities that we were looking at in a new organ. And so we kind of held that in the back of our minds. And in August 30th of 2011, Ken actually prepared a proposal. It was not brought to the board or anything, but just a proposal to install an organ. So I mean, we've been doing some work for quite a while, and there had been a committee that the worship committee had struck even prior to this to talk about rationale for having an organ in worship. And so this is not a brand new event that's happening right now. There's been some steps that have led up to
a few years in the making.
Yeah, a few years in the making. So,
but to the broader idea that this is one that's sort of within our means and not, you know, we're not thinking of, you know, St. Paul's Cathedral in London, you know.
I mean, even with the digital instruments in conversations with Ken, you can get instruments that are, you know, cheaper. You can get that are much, much more expensive than what we're looking at. We're looking at kind of an average down the middle, one that, because I know you guys tried a couple of different ones that he suggested over the couple of years. And this is the one that we kind of all sort of zeroed in on as what would be good for the space here. And that's one of the things you have to consider, because if you go with a less expensive instrument, it might not be powerful enough to cover the space. And so this one kind of fits the space of Westworth really well.
Let me just play devil's advocate here, because some people listening to this may just have some questions and are probably asking. I know we're both on the organ committee. You know, are we looking at new and used? And there's arguments for and against that. If you could take the pros and the cons of, you've touched on it earlier about the maintenance, but if we could just have a little brief discussion about used organs versus brand new ones.
Sometimes a used organ becomes available when a church closes. That's often the case. There's actually a pipe organ that's available because of a Lutheran church closing on Inkster. But in conversation with some people that I know, I don't think it would be suitable at all at Westworth, and it would probably end up being a lot more expensive. Ken has said to me that he has worked on used organs that people have bought because they thought they would be cheaper from different places, and so he ends up maintaining some of them. Of course, if there were a really good used organ, I think the committee would be open to considering that. It's just that with a newer one, you have more of an assurance that it's going to last for a while.
If you kind of look at it in terms of, you were looking at the costs associated similarly to buying a car. If you buy a used car, you can often buy somebody's used problems with the car as well. Whereas when you buy a new instrument, you get with the new instrument warranties and things that the old instrument may not have. So if something did go wrong with the new instrument, it wouldn't cost to maintain it because it would still be covered under warranty. That's one way to look at it, too.
It's something we're not closed to that idea.
No, I just wanted to have a little bit of discussion. Now, I think the three of us in this room are enormously biased and lovers of the organ music. But just a quick philosophical question about what music means to Westworth. I mean, you are both intimately involved as the director of music and our organist. And then the secondary question that will be how the organ fits into that equation. But we'll start with you, Stuart. Well, what does music mean to this church?
Well, I've been part of this community for 3.5 years now. And I've had many conversations with people who have said the musical tradition of Westworth has been very strong. It's one of the stronger musical churches in Winnipeg. And a lot of people in the congregation have come here because of the music being offered and the variety of music being offered. Up until last year, we had a number of different things going on in the church that provided different colors, different ideas of music between the bells and the band and the choirs and the rock band and stuff like that. And I think music transcends a lot of what else happens here. It speaks to people in different ways. It's a different way to hear the messages that Westworth is trying to teach. And I think a lot of people have come here because of that.
I think the senior choir especially has involved people that didn't grow up at Westworth. There are some in the choir that did, but there are many people who came here because of the music. And the more people you have involved in the choir, that affects the whole congregation and the church. We had a tradition of having a lot of kids involved in the children's programs. There are fewer of those, unfortunately, but there are fewer people in the Sunday school, too. But music has been, it was the reason I came here, way, 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 way back, when we first attended Westworth and heard the choir. It was just so uplifting, and it was something that I wanted to be a part of. And so I sang in the choir when I first came here, when Winifred Sim was the choir director. And it's just been a tradition that is carried on. And over time, we've tried to vary our musical offerings and tried to provide, as Stuart said, we've had different groups like the Bells and Rockers and things like that. And I'm hoping that will continue.
I mean, it's very clear. It's a profound part of what we are as a church. So in looking specifically at how the organ fits into that, I mean, there's so much texture and so many layers of beauty. I mean, it's almost impossible to conceive of this church without one. But talk a little bit about how specifically the organ ties into the musical offerings and worship here at Westworth. You can both, whoever wants to start on that one.
Well, historically, the church from its inception to today, historically, the most important instrument in the church is the human voice. The humanity of being able to worship and praise through song is, I think, inherent and has been part of the historic church since its inception, really. As the sort of technology developed for the organ, the organ was seen as an instrument that was able to sustain the voice or support the voice, because you can sustain sound, and it's not a percussive instrument. When you play the note, the air goes through the pipe, and then you can hold that note as long as you hold the key down. So the ability to support the voice is what made the organ, I think it was in the 13th or 14th century, the most prominent and declared the instrument of the church. And not only in the support of the human voice, but also in the variety of colors you can get from the instrument. The organs typically have a couple of different types of pipes. They have reed pipes, they have flute pipes that make different sounds, and the combination of the different stops that you would use creates the different textures, the different sounds, the different levels that you would get from the organ that you wouldn't necessarily get from just a piano alone, because a piano is considered a percussion instrument, and when you play a key, a hammer strikes a string, you don't, and that's the percussion part, but you also don't get the same sense of sustain through that, so you don't get the same level of support necessarily for the voice that you do through the organ. Mm-hmm. And so it has continued even to today to be one of the more prominent instruments for accompaniment of church music, and especially here, because Westworth is still a church that enjoys the use of traditional styled hymns. I'm not going to say traditional hymns only, because we do use the More Voices hymnal, which does still have some traditional styled hymns in there. And in terms of the accompaniment, the organ provides the most support, the color and the texture to be able to carry the support and to add to that worship.
Yeah, I would agree. And probably a majority of the anthems that are in the choir library, I don't have this on Gospel Truth, but are written for organ. And so that affects our whole choir program too, even though we have a lot of a cappella things and we do a lot of things on piano, but a lot of them are written for the organ. And it often, the organ can fill in, if there are any deficiencies sometimes in an anthem where the voices aren't as strong, the organ can sustain that and just provide a good grounding for that. So that's what I...
And yet, is it fair to say that for those people who might be thinking of... it's clear that we have the traditional music nailed here. It's what you guys create on a weekly basis is magical and wonderful. But there's nothing that precludes using the organ in a contemporary fashion, right? An organ, just because it's built this way, doesn't mean it has to be Handel and Purcell and Bach. It can be used for other avenues, other forms, and other ways, correct?
Right. And yeah. I mean, I was just going to say to that point, Elam Chapel, which is over across from the UW, where Ken Dirksen is the organist there, he uses the organ there on a weekly basis with their contemporary band, so he plays with the band every week. And again, it adds the texture. And certainly the smaller organs through the 50s and 60s became prominent with the Hammond B3s, I think it was, or mm-hmm. something like that, because of the sustaining quality, being able to add the harmonic texture that kind of fills in the gaps, as you said, through the course of the band. So being able to use the organ, or the organ itself, is a very multifaceted instrument. You can use it in many, many different styles of music.
Yeah, and I would say that our purchasing an organ doesn't preclude our having contemporary music, because we would like to do more of that. The worship committee is looking into that, and they can be used together in many ways. There are lots of avenues to explore in that way. So it's something that I think just adds to the variety and versatility of our music program.
And for the people listening, I mean, we come on Sunday mornings and we hear it, but let's talk for a little bit, and I don't want to keep you too much longer. It's a busy morning here. What would the impact of not having an organ? I mean, there are funerals and weddings and concerts and other... Talk a little bit about the places outside of Sunday morning at Westworth where the organ is beneficial to our congregation.
Well, the organ is definitely used at funerals. It's usually requested, especially if it's somebody from the church. And it's used at weddings, although there are fewer weddings held in churches. That's true across the board. And sometimes people prefer the piano, but if people want the traditional wedding, they certainly want the organ. And when rental groups come in, I know for a fact that the Philharmonic Choir used the organ on for one of their concerts a few years ago. And it is an added feature if we can say that we have an organ and there's a rental group coming in. Even a school, they might, if they have a Christmas concert, they may want to have a carol sing, and they would probably want to have an organ playing the Christmas carol. So it does give that opportunity for variety.
Anything to add there, or did she?
I agree with everything she said.
Yeah. So have we missed anything? Is there anything that that we haven't discussed that you would like to? That you'd like to talk about?
I think we've touched on it in sort of other parts of this, but I think one of the key things about having an organ in the church is the color. If you were to eliminate the organ from Westworth, we have a wonderful piano. It is a concert level, beautiful instrument, but it is uniform in its sound. So everything would sound the same. You can add different notes, different colors, different chord structures, different things like that. But at the end of the day, a piano is going to sound like a piano, as a piano. The nice thing about having an organ in tandem with a piano is the organ just doesn't sound like an organ. I mean, an organ is going to sound like an organ, but you have almost an infinite number of color variations and timbres that you can pull from the instrument that does enhance and change how you would interpret a hymn or feel a hymn. How, you know, if you know the registration of the organ was very bright and you did a hymn, you would feel it differently than if the registration was really soft. It would impact you differently. And I think having that the ability to have the different colors and the different timbres and the different just a different way of approaching hymns, I think, is really important in a diverse music program, which is what we have here. I really do think so. And I would be very sad if you know, at the end of the day, we didn't have one. Because, again, a piano is beautiful, but a piano is a piano, at the end of the day.
And for those people who say, well, are there any people studying the organ? There are fewer across North America taking organ lessons. But I've seen in Winnipeg kind of a resurgence of young people who are interested in the organ. The Royal Canadian College of Organists has given out 4 scholarships for organ study this year. And so I think there are more people who are interested in it. And people like myself, I started as a pianist and then I learned the organ. It's not a huge jump from playing the piano to playing the organ. There are, of course, the feet to worry about. Mm-hmm. But it's not like going from a trumpet to a piano. I mean, if you have piano skills, you can learn to play the organ. And many people are really interested in trying something new. And so I think that's not something totally to worry about in terms of having people play.
Yeah, and to sort of further that, I don't think the journey that Dorcas went through is any different than a lot of people. I was a pianist who went on to do organ as well. I think having the instrument in a church, you know, when a musician comes in, if the musician is a pianist and the organ's there, they're going to gravitate to doing that. So sometimes the instrument in learning is an instrument of opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, as a church musician and whatnot, having the instrument there was what made me learn how to do it. So,
Stuart, a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you after church and I said, wow, have you ever picked spectacular music to showcase the beauty and the color and the texture of the organ? You said, no, that's a complete coincidence. We picked this music 6 months ago, long before we knew there was going to be an organ campaign fund.
That's right.
So well done, even if it was a divine intervention or a coincidence.
You know,
well done.
There are no coincidences. Things always happen for a reason. So,
well, I'm just going to remind the listeners now how the actual program works, and by all means jump in if I'm saying something incorrectly. But I just want to remind the listeners that this pledge campaign runs till the end of March. And so we are, as you said, Stuart, we are, as a committee, we are here to gauge the interest level and the commitment of the congregation. So we'd like to get that in place by the end of March. There are many ways you can donate to the organ fund. You can pledge an amount. You can pledge to buy a piece of the organ, a stop, a pedal, or other, you know, there's the neat cardboard a piece in the narthex here where people can see what they want to buy. You can make a pledge in honor of someone, in memory of someone. And then when it comes time to pay, you can divide that up over 12 payments via par. You can make a one-time, write a check and say, I'd like this to go for the organ. So there's lots of different ways that people at Westworth can contribute to the organ fund. And if anyone listening has any questions, we've got some great detail here. I can't thank you enough for the time you've shared. But if people still have questions after listening to this, talk to any of us on the organ committee. And if we can't answer it, we'll find someone who can. And I guess closing thoughts. Dorcas, we'll start with you. We bring this all together. What's the pitch? What's the final thought on this Oregon campaign?
Well, obviously, I'm very biased. I'm hoping that we can move forward and purchase the instrument that would suit our purposes here. As I read somewhere, churches these days are made up of people who speak multiple musical languages. But I think whatever our taste may be, and it may vary, we have to really remind ourselves that we're here to worship God, and that's the primary focus. And how can we best do that? What are the things that will enhance our worship? And so I think people need to think about that.
I would just touch on the last part that Dorcas said, in enhancing worship. And I think in a traditional church context, there's no better way than an organ to enhance the worship life of a church.
Well, thank you so much for your time, both of you. I know Sunday mornings are incredibly busy, and you've carved out some time for us. And thank you both. Again, the contributions you make to this church are immeasurable, invaluable. We're blessed to have you with us. We hope we have you for a long time. But thanks for sharing your thoughts and ideas here today.
Thank you very much.